Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
I'm going to take you fishing, honey. You're going to love it.
Brought to you by Ring Power, Lloyd's Construction and Consulting, and Marine Max on 1010XL. Here's Captain Kevin Faber and Captain Scott Shank.
Good evening. Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I am Captain Kevin Faber, sitting with Captain Scott Shank.
Hello.
And we tried to tell everybody this month is going to be a little different. Obviously, we got preseason.
Yeah.
Starting tomorrow, which I'm excited about. I'm never excited about preseason.
No, but I understand it's early in what they're doing. But I know we're going to get off the track for 1 second.
Okay.
Who are you picking tomorrow?
To win?
What's your thoughts?
I have no idea.
I know it's the first game, but you got to play the game.
It doesn't make any difference who wins.
I want to see Foles.
But I'm good with not seeing Foles.
Let's keep him not on the reserve list.
I want to see receivers catch the ball. I want to see hopefully Leonard Fournette run a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see who our fourth-string linebacker is.
Yeah. I'm excited, though. Hopefully this year, because there is a lot of people that spend a lot
football.
Of money for it. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so ready.
Yep.
I'm so ready. It's
like 17 more days, and I'm sorry, folks, but Gators start in 17 days.
Yeah, we got a little Miami Gators, so I'm looking –
It's that time of year.
Yeah, you know, August is the dog days of summer.
I was going to say, because the fish sure ain't figured it out.
Yeah, you know, I had a long conversation with Captain Kirk Waltz today, you know, kind of talking him off the bridge. And it's the same thing. They're struggling up there, too? Oh, yeah. Yeah, just struggling. You know, I mean, he said that I think he said yesterday they ran like 22 miles trying to find some kingfish. You know, there's no bait.
Oh, they don't have bait either?
They have no bait. You know, he said there's a few at Amelia Island. He said they're scattered. He told me today he spent an hour and 15 minutes throwing on pogies.
I'm out.
You know, I mean, and then basically I had to turn around and come back because it was so rough this morning. It was rough for everybody, man.
It was
blowing. I mean, I woke up this morning. It was funny. I woke up by typical 5:30 because I leave the dock at 7:30, and I try to get out of the house around 6:10, you know, somewhere, because I stop, get ice, and this, that, and the other.
Coffee.
That puts me to the dock around 10 till 7. Anyway, I got up this morning, and the first thing I did was turn on the radar, and I went, ew.
Yep.
I mean, I was like, oh, and had four ladies today, you know, and
great-looking crew there.
Yeah, it was a great-looking crew, and and I said, you know, I said, I just had that knot in my stomach. Seriously, you know, I was like, it ain't a good day to go offshore. Mm-hmm. You know, they were ready, man. They wanted to go catch some kingfish and stuff. And I threw my inshore rods on the boat, and they got down there. Hell, it was almost raining this morning at 7:30. It looked horrible.
Listen, at 4:30 this morning, it woke me up at my house. Yeah. I had a heck of a squall line that came through at 4:30 this morning.
Yeah.
That woke me up.
Yeah, and they're. Dude, they throw on a cooler full of drinks, and they're like, let's go. And I said, look, we're going to stay inshore, you know. I said, because I'm not going offshore with that hanging over. So I said, as a matter of fact, I'm not even sure that we'll get the inshore trip.
Yes. At 8 o'clock this morning, when we all looked at the radar, it was orange and a little bit of red.
Yeah. This side of 95.
On this side of 95, and thank goodness it kind of – dissipated and like shifted to the northeast a little bit,
right.
But we still got wet. I mean, it wasn't.
And we never got rained on.
We got rained on at the inlet.
Yeah, because I was south, and you guys were, and I saw it. I saw it coming across right there, and my first thought was, oh God, it's cut me off from the marina, and I'm gonna everybody's gonna get soaking wet. But it just kind of went away.
Yeah, it just dissipated.
It did nothing.
Nope.
You know,
because there's a couple thunderbolts.
Yeah.
Because I got on the radio and told the two boats that were offshore, hey guys, you might want to think about moving back this way because this one looks ugly.
Yep, and it did.
And it looked ugly.
It looked ugly. As a matter of fact, Deb, who was fishing with me today, we had made our first stop, and she said, should we go in? And I said, let's give it 10 minutes. You know, let's just see what it does, you know. And I mean, I kept looking at it going, man, I don't know if that's the right decision. And I saw that storm going between me and the inlet. But I'm telling you, we never got rained on. Wow. And then it really got pretty.
It got pretty.
It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't hot. It was a little westerly.
That's what my
chartist
said. He said, man, this is a pretty nice day. I said, yeah, I'm sorry I got you a little damp. Yep. I mean.
Okay. I'm fishing the rain all the time, bro.
Dude, it's nice.
I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I like I said, as long as it's not lightning and thundering and doing all that stuff, mm-hmm. I'll fish in the rain. That doesn't bother me. But bite was okay. I mean, it was, you know, a few fish at the jetties. We all stayed inshore. The offshore bite, though, folks, is just dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I say that. I mean,
it's a bait situation. You probably have some bait.
You're right.
Cigar minnows, sardines.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're kind of resorting. I haven't been offshore in like a week. I've been kind of listening through you guys. But, I mean, there's a school of threadies or sardines that might pop up and might not. So you're not leaving the dock without throwing in salt run first and either catching a few mullet.
Thank goodness there's enough bait in there to catch. You know, I mean, I went in there on Tuesday morning and I really didn't have a problem. I mean, I've had to throw the net 10 times, but I had 3 dozen really nice baits. The problem with the baits and the run is it's kind of half and half. You catch half true pogies and half what we call razor bellies, which it looks like a pogie.
They're just real wide.
Yeah, they're real wide. And
they don't pull that well. They're like pulling them dyke butterfish.
They don't pull that
stuff.
Well, and the fish don't like them that mm-mm. much. I mean, mm-mm. unless they're just completely fired up.
Right.
You know, and I went through all my true pogies. I caught fish on every single one of them. But then I got down to those, and I had one bite on the downrigger, you know, that got cut in half. But besides that, you just can't get those jokers to swim. So, anyway, that's
– still a few cobias, but everything's short.
Everything's short. I caught cobia this week, you know. When we say short, I mean like really short.
No, like 28, 29 inches. Yeah. I mean, if you caught him in a river, he'd be a legal redfish.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And then, you know, it's August. I have all these tarpon charters on the books, and it's it's pretty bleak.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty bleak.
I saw one or two rolls in the inlet today.
That's right.
They're always in there.
Yeah, they're always in there. You're
the one
see
at Comanche Cove, they're always there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I'm talking about going out and targeting them and you know, our good buddy Matt, who that's what he does. He tarpon fishes every day. And
Literally all over the coast, all over the state of Florida.
Literally.
He travels.
Yeah. And on, it would have been Tuesday afternoon, it was the ocean on the beach was gorgeous, mm-hmm. gorgeous. And I saw Matt behind a shrimp boat. And so I called him on the phone. I said, hey, what are you seeing? He goes, yes, buddy. He said, I ain't seen a tarpon in 2 or 3 days. He said, not one. And I said, well, you know, because he comes from the south and runs the beach.
Right.
And I said, what about bait? Do you see any bait? And he goes, bro, I ran from Flagler to the desert today. I ain't seen a bait pod.
Wow. Well, that really wants to make me go offshore
fishing. Yeah,
wow.
I'm like, okay.
When your day's already starting out and there's no bait, it's usually not going to be a good day.
Yeah, so it's and what's amazing about this whole thing, and you and I were talking to Captain Greg on the Ringleader about this today, is it's all because of that one tiny little blow we had,
that
man.
One little 3 days and, of light northeast 10 to 15
and
everything up.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I thought that would change it for the better, you know, because
that's my thought. Roughing it up, kind of
blowing some different water and some pretty water, and it didn't. It just kind of turned everything over, and nothing's really cleared back up.
Outside of the mullet run coming in another 2 to 3 weeks, I don't see them coming back, do you?
The kingfish?
Pogies.
Yes.
You do?
Oh, yeah, they'll be back. Okay. Because a lot of the bycatch is pogies. And the shrimp boats.
What they're catching?
Yeah.
So they're out there in deep water?
They're out there in deep water. But what I don't get is even if they're in 40, 50 feet of water, why don't they come to the surface?
Yeah, why aren't they showing?
Yeah. I've seen about 40, 50 feet of water on the surface. You know, but they're not, man. They're hugging the bottom and
it's just weird.
Yeah, it is.
Honestly, this year has been real perplexing as far as the bait situation. I mean, it's been a up and down roller coaster ride all year long. Bait. As far as your eyes could see, you go out there the next day, you're all woohoo, and go, where did it go?
Yeah, I know.
You know,
right. All year.
It's been that way all year. The first beginning of trolling season, we maybe got 2 weeks in of the goodie in the middle of May.
Yeah.
And other than that, it's been a struggle.
Totally.
Every day is a struggle.
Do you remember, was it 2 years ago in April, where, and we talked about this, the pogey pods on the beach were like unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, we were catching cobia.
Big jacks were in there already.
Big jacks, yeah.
You sharks know, were in them. The little tiny lemons.
And pretty much throughout the summer, it was awesome. But it hasn't been that way this year. And it hasn't been that way anywhere on the First Coast because, you talk to Captain Kirk Waltz, Captain Jeremy Alvarez, Captain Steve Muller. I mean, they're all struggling to find bait, man. And that's, we've talked about this. That's the most stressful part of our day.
Oh, there's no doubt. 100%.
Is finding
100%. The first phone calls that I start getting at 6 o'clock in the morning is, where'd you find bait at? Or somebody said, hey, a buddy of mine walked the dog last night on the beach and saw him off the pier north of it, 200 yards, whatever.
Yep.
And you shoot down there and
And you shot yourself in the foot because I call you up and go, hey, they're at the gate station. And you're like,
bring me some. But, they got that Meat Mayhem, that St. Augustine Kingfish tournament this weekend, 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Yep.
Talking to a few of the boats yesterday, I guess it was, and they were asking me because they're from out of town and stuff. I said, guys, I said, welcome to our world. I said, I don't know what you're going to do.
Yeah.
You're going to have to either go offshore and catch your runners. Either you're going to have to spend $150 a dozen, or you're going to go in Salt Run and try to catch some mullet, or, there is some pogies in there, but, trying to go offshore and catch your runners, you cannot come back in the marinas and put them in there, folks, because they ain't going to live. They need a really, really high supply, a volume of water flowing through them to keep them alive.
And mark my word, 39, 40-pounder wins.
That's it. That's all it'll be.
Yeah.
Because congratulations to Dito Nelson on the one time.
Mm-hmm.
He caught the 44 up there at Nassau last weekend.
Yep.
Friend of mine. Congratulations to him.
I think the Nimrod had a 36, 37. It came in third.
I forgot who the second place boat is.
Pardon me,
I mean, I can't remember. I think he was right there, 39, bouncing 40, somewhere right around there.
Yeah, but there wasn't very many fish caught, man.
Nope. So, I mean, it's going to be exciting. I think there's 40 or 50 boats in it.
Mm-hmm.
The pro division.
Yeah.
Pro division only, I'm sorry.
Yeah, which is Friday.
Then they open it up, both divisions, on Saturday.
On Saturday, yeah. It's open division on Saturday. So, anyway, give us a call. 641-1010, 641-1010. You're listening to the Moe Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast with Captain Scott Shank. I'm Captain Kevin Favor. We'll be right back.
This is the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power, Lloyd's Construction and Consulting, and Marine Max on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, and we'll do a little forecast here in a second, but right now let's go talk to Captain Leon Dana, who's been fishing around the valley. I know we've been talking about this a lot, Leon.
Yes, sir.
Because inquiring minds want to know, it's so funny this time of year about shrimp reports.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
And it's a big deal, Leon. I mean, it really is. So many people love to shrimp, and here's the deal: we haven't had any in 2 years.
Nuh-uh.
Because of the hurricanes and everything else,
right?
And all of the reports that we've gotten this year have been pretty damn good.
Yep.
There's definitely showing some progress.
Yeah, I was talking to a good buddy of mine, Larry, today, who fishes with Chris Stevens on the Beer Money, and he's got his dad bass fishes in Palatka, and he was said that he talked to his dad. He said, hey, listen, I was thinking about coming up there and going bass fishing. And he goes, don't waste your time. he goes, they won't look
at it.
He said the only thing they're going to eat is a live shrimp because he said they're so stuffed. He said you can throw a shiner out there, whatever, and they're not even looking at them. So, I think that, talking to Loggeman, obviously on the Nimnik Outdoor Show last Saturday, it's when they're throwing for bait shrimp, they're catching a few each throw, the big shrimp, so they're getting there. And I know that you sent me some pictures this week of some interesting recordings on your bottom recorder. So do you think there's some shrimp there, Leon?
I know they're there. The problem is I'm not finding the eaters yet.
Right,
I'm certainly in a couple spots, and every once in a while when I particularly the lower tides and some of the holes, I'll go over, and it looks like a nice little green grassy moss on the bottom. And I know darn good and well what it is, and I'm catching bait shrimp. They're not big enough yet down here in the valley, believe me. If they were big enough, you'd see me sending you pictures of coolers of shrimp, you know?
Yeah. No.
You think wouldn't be showing that off?
No, I absolutely. Now, whatever because I know you're using a lot of mullet right now, and
yep.
when you're throwing on those little mullet skills, and we did there. That, by the way, what a hatchery it is this year!
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable!
Oh, unbelievable!
Nice mullet.
Oh my god! I mean, I'm talking about a great hatchery mm-hmm. of mullet this year. You know,
did you see what was up there when I sent? Did you go up to those?
You know
runouts?
What? I didn't. I mean, I didn't have to go out to Comanche Cove.
Okay.
And then down south,
it's just acres of, but nothing's eating them.
Oh my god, the flounder were hammering them.
Really?
Oh, right in front of that storm, Leon. You know, it was like you could see the storm coming, and it was like that last hour of the outgoing tide, and those little mullet were all on the bank, and the flounder, pew,
really,
all over the place. You know, coming up. I didn't see any big fish. I saw a bunch of 12, 15 inchers.
That's it.
You know,
that's
but still, when they do the little black foot.
Oh, it's so cute. It's so cute.
I call them little flying footballs. I love watching those things dart out of the water.
Yeah.
I'm going, how in the hell do you think a flat fish is actually jumping out of the water? How is his mouth sideways? How in the hell is he going to catch any bait when he jumps out of the water?
I don't know, but he does it.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because you got to – got to think that they flip over backwards.
Right. Like a stingray.
Yeah, you see their white
right.
belly
right.
When they come out. So, and to be honest with you, I don't know that I've ever seen a big one do it.
No, biggest I've ever seen,
no,
maybe
I've
2.5, 3 pounds.
A big one.
Yeah.
You know, because a big one, you know when it's a big one because you just see him go, just
whop
one of those baits. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a whop.
Yeah.
You go, yeah. Where was but, that? But,
yeah.
Look around.
Yeah.
Where was it? Throw to that
yeah.
right there.
Yeah,
throw
he
right
won't
there.
Jump out of the water. He just sucks them off the
no,
top
he won't.
Of the water. He'll come up and
yep.
like suck them down.
He's
like
too
a trout.
He's too fat and lazy.
Yeah.
He's,
you know?
You're right. And he's sitting
yep.
there in like 3 inches of water, and he literally lifts half of his body out of the water. Kind of almost sounds like a trout strike on the surface.
Yep.
But it's right up against the bank. And, you know, that was a flounder, a big flounder right there.
Yep.
You
know, yep.
You're absolutely
yep.
right about that.
Yeah, and I have, you know, just like what you just talked about, Leon, you know, throw right there. I have literally numerous times have people throw, make a good throw, and you catch that
you'll
fish.
Catch him.
Yeah,
you'll catch him.
Yeah,
he's ready to eat.
Yeah.
He's ready to eat. If
yeah.
you see one do that,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
throw in that little 3-foot circle right there because I'm telling you,
yep,
he's going to eat.
Yep, you'll catch
mm-hmm.
him. You'll
you're
catch
right,
him,
Scotty.
So. What's
well,
what's the word of the valley?
Well, just like you said, oh, my God. I mean, the bait is – the mullet are so thick in the valley. Folks, I'm catching my bait. I launch – I get my clients to go, okay, where do you want to sit? Sit up front. Okay, why do you want to sit up front? Trust me, watch this. And I sit there and I just idle the boat down the center of the channel, cast net in hand, and two, maximum three casts later, before I get to the end of the docks heading south, I've got 30 mullet in my live one. I'm like, okay, let's go fishing.
Right.
I mean, it's great. I know there's shrimp to be caught, you know, but I am 100% only using mullet right now. I mean, it's the only thing they seem to want. And it's the only thing I'm finding, except for a couple, you know, small fiddler crabs or maybe some sort of little itty-bitty stone crabs I'm finding in some of the redfish stomachs that I'm catching around the oyster beds.
Yep.
But primarily, the redfish that I'm – everything I've caught myself – I don't want to speak for Chip, but I know he's catching a lot of mullet also. And a friend of mine, Tom Vautour – it's the only thing we're using in the valley right now. I wouldn't even – God, I hate saying this. I wouldn't buy shrimp right now. I wouldn't buy mud minnows right now. I'm only throwing mullet, and it's a guarantee for trout, redfish, and flounder in the valley. It's just 100% guaranteed.
You learned a valuable lesson, though, when you come farther south, that you better have shrimp on your boat today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let me ask you this, because I always find this interesting. We've had those little mullet, Scott, for 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, two, yeah. Because they were way too small earlier. You know, I would catch them in that quarter-inch mesh net and stuff like that, but they were really gilling in a quarter-inch mesh. But now, they're getting,
So it's about 2 weeks.
Oh, they're USDA grade select.
Yeah, they are. So I'm just curious, Leon, how long have you been catching those perfect size mullet?
I've been getting them for a lot longer than you guys, honestly.
Yeah, I think so.
I get it because
the estuary is closer to you, I think. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's water clarity, surprisingly enough, has been really good this past week. Now, the kicker that's really gotten me, kicked me in the teeth, Chip's been telling me something about we've had a double new moon this month or something like that.
Right.
We're talking about some super high tides. And they call for low tides like a negative 0.6 or a negative 5. Oh, it never gets even remotely that low. And I'm like, come on. And I'm, I usually generally fish the last 2 hours of the outgoing and the first two of the incoming. And it doesn't make it easy when I'm like, okay, these predators should be coming out of this creek and they don't have to come out of the creek, you know? And I'm like, oh boy, here we go, guys. We got to start bumping around. And this time of year, folks, I'm doing the 5-minute rule. I kid you not, Scotty and Kevin. I'm fishing spots. I know fish should be there. Either they're not there or they're not feeding, and I'm moving on. And I tell my clients straight up, this is not a race. This is a marathon. We will get it done. We're just going to keep moving until we find fish that want to feed. And throughout that 4-hour period of time, at the end of the day, my clients look at me and go, you're right, Captain. We got some really nice slot redfish, one or two nice trout, and three, maybe four really nice keeper flounder. And by keeper flounder, folks, I want to tell you, Palm Valley flounders are not big, okay? I'm really happy to see a 14, 15-inch flounder in the valley, okay? They're nothing like the St. Augustine rocks or around the docks. We call them Palm Valley chips up here, okay? So, if I get some 13, 14, I'm stupid excited about a 15-inch flounder,
Yeah.
It's just, I load up the live well in the morning with the mullet, and I say, let's go get them, guys.
Yeah, and it's August. It is not a good inshore month.
No.
By no means.
No.
So if you catch a couple slot reds and a trout or two and a couple flounder in a 4-hour trip, you've had a pretty damn good day this time of
100%.
Year.
Right.
These fish are not schooling up.
Nope.
They're all singled out and like you said, and here's the other thing, Leon, there is so much bait.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Oh my God. How many of those little mullet can they eat?
Right. Or that they even want.
Right.
You would get tired of eating hamburgers or a steak 4 days in a row. You go, damn, I just want ready for a piece of chicken or something. I want a change, I agree.
Scotty, I'm still trying to figure out how on earth those redfish, trout or flounder, find my one single mullet amongst all those billions of mullet out there.
Well, we've had this conversation so many times.
Oh, sure we have.
But think about, and it still perplexes me. You pull up to a pogey pod.
That one really gets me.
Yeah, and there's
50,000 baits.
Yeah, 50,000 baits, and you throw one out there. Now, so you got to work it, But why in the world does he eat that?
Because he lays over on his size, a little less active than the rest of them because of the hook.
Or he can't get away.
That cobia is 20 feet away. You pitch that thing in that pile, and he comes out of nowhere and drills it. And you're like,
exactly.
How did he see that one?
Yeah. Or a big jack, even. Right. It's like, you'll see them just doing the daisy chain thing. And even the tarpon, they swim around. And you throw that one out there with a hook on it, and if it's swimming right.
Well, that's the funny thing I was going to say about the cobias. I've had them all behind the back of the boat. I know you have, too.
Yep.
Maybe Leon has, too. If you pick that one pogie that ain't got the right spunk to it, and he's kind of just, you get one that dives straight for the bottom, you go, oh, God, he's gone now.
Yep.
No, he ain't. Hold on, because he's going to come like a freight train and just dig you straight to the bottom with it.
And Leon, it's funny. Years ago, just what Scott was talking about, had a bunch of AJs around the boat.
Yep.
And so I was taking a pogie and hooking him through the nose, and he was coming up to the surface, and swimming. They'd go right up to him and
nose him, kind of
nose him. Yeah, you know. And I said, this is bull crap. You know what the heck? And then so I took one and pinned him through his dorsal.
Yep.
And that joker went out there and dove down. Oh, and it was.
Behind his anal fin even works better. If you pinch it behind his anal fin and he shoots down.
If he goes down, it's over. Yeah. So just a little tip there for folks. It's like you said, same thing for cobia. And it's really the same thing true for tarpon. Mm-hmm. You know, if you kind of get that pogie that's like swimming up on the surface, it's kind of like, he ain't going to eat him. But you get that one that's lively swimming down.
Pulls drag. I love it when we're kingfishing.
I love it when
we're kingfishing. You hook a fresh pogie on, and he goes streaking across the top of the water as you're letting him go, going, that one ain't going to live too long. Watch this. You just get peeled out of your hands.
He's absolutely right, Leon. I'm like, boys.
Clyde would go, man, look at that one. I said, hold on. I said, it's going to go off.
Yeah,
watch.
Yeah. I'm like, I always look at those pogies. Go hunt, dog.
Yeah, go get them, dog.
That's right. I always say when I throw a good mullet out there, I go, die with honor.
Yeah.
That's what I always say.
That's good stuff.
Go get them, boy.
Go get them, boy. So it's, like I said, it's August. We're still catching fish, you know. And listen. With what we're seeing, this mullet run is going to be. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be just like the shrimp, Leon. I think it's going to be epic. I really do.
I have to agree.
I think it's going to be epic.
All I got to say is you, me, Chip, and Scotty. We got to do it one more time this year.
Absolutely.
Man,
when it kicks off, God! I might even go buy a new drone.
Well, that would be awesome. We need some good, seriously, though, we need some good drone footage of this mullet run, you know?
Oh, yes.
When those fish are lit up at that inlet like that, with everything, jacks, sharks, I mean, we could get some good stuff. So we'll leave that up to you, Leon.
Yeah, we'll leave that up to you.
I'll dig into the piggy bank and see what I can find.
All right, buddy. Okay. Have a great evening.
All right, guys.
Bye, buddy.
See you. Captain Leon Dana checking in. Give us a call, 641-1010. This is the Bose Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast on 1010XL. And don't forget, we are here for the month of August every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8. If you miss it, obviously you can download the podcast.
Right. That's easier.
Yeah, it's easier. We'll be right back.
You hear the screamer slamming, rubber squealing, gears are jamming, local country station just to blare out on a radio. Pick him up at 7 and they're heading to the rodeo.
You're listening to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power, Lloyd's Construction and Consulting, and Marine Max on 1010XL. Cold beer on a
Friday night. Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, and if you haven't heard, pretty much from the end of till the end of August, we are going to be on every Wednesday from 7 to 8. You can listen to Captain Kevin and myself. Go ahead and bring up Chip, but we're going to do a weather forecast real quick because Chip's got some really good information, hopefully.
Yeah, let me get this out there real quick, Chip. Tonight, southwest winds 10 to 15, which has been like that for
ever
since when the nor'easter was Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah,
was it two weeks ago?
No, it was Saturday, Sunday.
It was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we all... No, it was 2 weeks
no,
ago.
It was 2 weeks ago.
I'm sorry. It was 2 weeks ago. Friday, west-southwest 5 to 10. Here's the deal, folks. Because we've seen this forecast every day. It's been rough in the mornings.
Yes, sir.
It has been rough.
A lot of residual left over from these afternoon thunderstorms and stuff like that.
It gets way better as the day goes on. But that 6:30 to 10 o'clock is kind of snotty. For Saturday, south winds 5 to 10, 2 to 3, 8 seconds. Saturday night, southwest 10 to 15. There you go again. Sunday, south-southwest 5 to 10, seas 1 to 2. So anyway, looks like it's...
The only downfall I saw was starting like Saturday night into like maybe next Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's, I mean... Pretty doggone good chances. I mean, like 70-80% chance of rain starting early. Yeah.
Yep. What's up, Chippy?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, brother.
Not much, buddy. Just talking fishing as usual.
Talk to us.
Yep. Just got to talk some fishing with Jill Christofferson and Fred Roundsville, Captain David Borees, and about these trout. The trout changes they're looking at. Hey, Chris Holloman was there as well, and he was representing the fishing aspect of it. So basically what the proposals are, this is a proposal that is going to go before the commission in October for our region, because they have one, two, three, four, five different regions set up. But for Northeast Florida, they're looking at going from six fish to five fish on the bag limit. Mm-hmm. That slot, the slot's going to change. Well, it's going to go from 15 to 19 with no fish over 19 is what their proposal is for recreational and commercial fishing. They're also, that will prohibit, obviously, the harvest above the slot, and prohibit the harvest by captain and crew on for hire trips, meaning that the client cannot keep your limit of fish.
And here's the deal. I never keep my limit anyway,
nope.
Chip.
You know?
Yeah, neither do I.
I just don't. I'm like, look, it's your charter.
Yep.
These are your fish. These are not my fish.
Yep.
And you know, if it's two fish per person or whatever, then that's your two fish.
That's it.
You know, I didn't catch these fish. Yeah, I've always been that way. And Chip, listening to what you just said, first off, I have no problem with that.
None at all here.
I really don't.
The only problem I have is I wouldn't mind them dropping it to 14.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree with that.
There was a reason that Jill said that they don't want to drop it to 14. If you remember when they were 12,
yep.
back in the day?
Yep.
Okay, if you noticed about 3 or 4 years after that, we started seeing a lot bigger trout. So what they're saying is, if we go from the 15 to 20, you're going to start seeing bigger trout in that slot range, you know, and of course you're going to see your bigger fish also. But from what their sampling is showing is that, and they get their sampling from a lot of different ways, from netting. They go out and net fish and do sampling. They also get it from your Marine Patrol people that work at the ramps. Have you ever seen them? When you come in, they ask you what you've caught.
Yep.
Measure your fish, ask mm-hmm. the regions, time of year. Anyway, from what they're saying on the sampling is we're at 35% of spawning potential right now, where they want to see it at 65% of spawning potential, which okay. means they're only seeing 35% of those big fish with the potential to spawn. And 20%, if they see 20%, that's a red line. That's where they want to do closures. So basically, they're not happy with their sampling on their potential right now. So, and all the captains that were there, and unfortunately, there was not a lot of guys there. But you can still put in your input if you want to. You go to myfwc.com/saltwatercomments. So if you want to put in your 2 cents on this, you can do this, because this is going on there, you know, talking to people around the state, and then, of course, it goes before the commission, and you're able to go down there and speak about it as well. So it's open to everybody to comment on it, you know, and they're taking and putting all that into, you know, a yep. data base, and then they're sampling from, you know, they get their information from that on our inputs.
Hey,
I have no problem with it like that.
Yeah,
so,
no,
let me say
one more thing. There's a total difference in these meetings and the snapper meetings.
Correct.
Okay?
Yes.
This is state.
Right. It's a state water caught fish. It's not a federally watered caught
right.
fish.
Right. But what I'm yes. saying is this is done by FWC.
Correct.
This isn't done by NOAA and South Atlantic Fisheries Commission. Okay? These people listen.
Right.
They listen to your comments. They listen. Why did we have a closure on redfish? Because that's what the anglers wanted, mm-hmm. okay? And Chip, just like snook on the West Coast right now, it's the anglers, the charter captains that
are
said,
all
hey,
saying it. We had a closure.
Yeah.
We used to have a closure, what, 15 years ago,
right.
guys, in February?
Yes, for trout.
For trout?
Okay.
January, February, and it moved to February?
My point is, we're all in tuned with the snapper thing. We're all frustrated with it because nobody listens to us, okay? That's South Atlantic Fisheries Commission.
Right.
That's not FWC.
Right.
This is done by the state with FWC. They're looking for our input, okay? And they will go. They will listen to our input.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%. 100%.
So I just wanted to let people know that.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. And that was a lot of comments we got. How come, you know, like the snapper thing is, why do the Gulf get 45 days and we only get 5? Well, wait a minute. There's two different councils.
Right.
South Atlantic Marine Fisheries and Gulf Coast Council.
Right.
They are two different entities of themselves.
Right.
Sharing into the same NOAA situation.
Right. So, anyway, that would be a little bit of a change, Chip, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I'm all for it to protect our resource on our big spawning fish. You know, and Jill took down notes. I mean, she wrote down all of our concerns, you know, so they do listen, and we need to get, you know, people need to get their input on this. You know, this, you know, it's when you can't keep these fish in that slot limit, you can still harvest a nice amount of fish to eat. You know,
sure. Mm-hmm.
And trout doesn't freeze well. We talk about that and everything else. But, you know, it's just a matter of protecting our resource, because if we don't protect it and they shut it down, then, you know, it's just you can't fish for them. Well, you can, but you can't keep any.
Right. Well, so, not only are we kind of going to be somewhat out of a job, but, I mean, what about the boat builders and even the recreational anglers? You're not going to be able to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that probably the only argument is going to come from tournament fishermen.
That was one of the concerns that was brought up at the meeting. Yeah,
you know, and look, you're only allowed a 27-inch redfish.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So now you're only allowed a 19-inch trout. So
it opens the playing field for everybody. It's going to be done in ounces now instead of pounds.
But you're right. But you know what? If you catch a fatter 19-incher than me, then you win.
That's my point.
Yeah.
It's going to be done by ounces now,
you know,
not
what?
Pounds.
I mean, who cares if you've caught an 8-pound trout? Because, look, we all know. We're not stupid. We've done it. You catch an 8-pound trout, throw him in a live well, and then throw him back out. He ain't living.
He ain't going to make it.
Trout.
Yeah. Sometimes out of 10, they're already filled
redfish,
up.
A redfish will live all day. Mm-hmm. You know,
so will a flounder.
They're very hardy. That's right, Chip. You know, but a big old 8-9-pound trout that's been in a live well all day, and then she's thrown in a bag, and then thrown on the scale, and that fish has very, very few chances. Mm-hmm. Man, that's where, you know, Chip, you know me, you and Scott know. I mean, if I catch a 99% of the time, if I catch a kingfish over 27 pounds, I let her go.
No, you do.
I do.
Yeah.
I and look, do they all make it? I probably not.
No.
I try to handle them. I try to do everything I can. But all I know is she's got a much better chance of doing something.
No, you're right. Because I have killed a couple big fish this year, and I mean, I probably shouldn't.
Well, it's okay. I'm not telling everybody to do what I'm doing. I'm just saying that if we protect those big females on any species. And I think that's what they're trying to do here, Chip. I think that protects our future and our fishery.
It makes sense to me. And, you know, it, like we go back to protecting our resources and, you know, to go off this into another fish. You know, we talked about changing flounder up as far as the size.
Yep.
Well, we kind of missed that one. It's probably going to be a couple more years before it'll come back up, because that one was slotted in with the sheep's head. So if you look at them, they were both done at the same time.
Yep.
So as far as bumping that up to 15 inches, that was changed. But there were some other concerns that were brought up, too, is our water quality. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got a lot of dredging going on. You know, we've had a lot of algae blooms and things of that nature around the state.
Yep.
And those are things that affect these fish as well. So as a whole, we have to take all that into account and consider that it's not just us affecting them. So we do need to protect them with our water quality, our harvest records, you know, everything else in order to sustain them. And, it was a good meeting. I really enjoyed it. So
good.
Yeah, I like it. And I think that at some point in time, they're going to have to look at the redfish thing again, too.
I'm totally into one a person.
Yeah,
we've talked about that a little bit, and that's going to come around probably in a year or so where they'll start to look at that again. And, you know, then we can go and discuss that. And the way it was explained is, look, we need what's at hand is what we need to work with. Right now it's trout. You know, if it comes up redfish, we need to go in and work on that. So with all that being said, the topwater bite right now is on fire.
Is it really?
Yes. Sunday, I took one gentleman out and threw him out of the boat, too, by the way. But
did you really?
I told him. He said, you'll never talk about it. So I'll say it on the radio. It was just, I turned the trolling motor, you know, before I hit it, I said, watch your balance. I'm going to move the trolling motor the opposite direction. And he just lost his balance and went overboard. Threw the rod to me. I caught the rod. He went in the water. And he's like, oh, nice. It was perfect. I was roasting hot. But anyway, we had four big reds on top water. We lost three snook and jumped tarpon and had several other blow-ups. And this is him fishing, not me, just him. So it was like the topwater bite was just, I mean, banging, and it was so much fun. And I will say one thing with that tide. I heard Leon talk about the tide. I went into Pablo Creek to try to fish Pablo Creek, and I couldn't fish it. It was running so hard that you couldn't work a plug, a lure, or anything in it. I mean, it
chipped the, like the north jetties for us, you know, the north cut on that incoming tide is treacherous. I mean, it is, I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I've ever seen it like that. Now, the only time you see it like that is like on a full-blown nor'easter. Mm-hmm. Not, these are calm seas.
It's calm seas, but it's the tide's ripping so hard the waves are coming straight up in the air.
Yeah. It's wicked. I mean, wicked. And you know, for an August tide, you know, usually August tides are pretty calm.
Yeah. But wow, that new moon chip was last week.
Yeah.
Tail end of last week. I mean, we're almost a week into it, over it kind of thing. And damn, that tide won't slow down yet.
It hasn't.
Yeah, that black moon. They said the black moon, you get extreme tides or extreme currents and tides. But it was crazy. I mean, I had to move a bull red tournament or a bull red charter to a regular charter because it was ripping so hard in the river. There's no way I could, you know, you could anchor up and use 12 ounces of weight maybe and hold it, but that's not going to work. So, but that was fun though. I mean, it pushed the fish around. I will say that much. They moved around a lot this week.
And they did the same thing offshore too. All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. We need to get in the woods.
You got it. Soon. Have a great day, guys.
Later, right, buddy.
See you. 641-1010, 641-1010. We got one more small segment to go right here on the Mo Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Comes Shank. I'm Captain Kevin Faber. Be right back.
The Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power, Lloyd's Construction and Consulting, and Marine Max on 1010XL.
That was good stuff talking to Captain Chip Wingo. That's really cool. And again, I have no problem going 15 to 19 inches on trout.
Nope.
And you know, Scott, the oversized fish, you know, which we've all obviously gotten very used to, the redfish. But if you look at the slot limits, they work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We've had an upswing in fish.
They're allowing you to still catch and keep fish.
Right.
But they're just asking you to let the big spawners go.
Right.
I mean, I don't think
100%.
I don't think anybody has a problem with that. You know?
And honestly, we don't have the waterways like other areas of the United States have, like Louisiana or Texas or whatever, where they can.
We're very limited.
Very liberal limits, you know. I mean, 10 redfish apiece. You could have one bull red if you wanted to keep one to take home or whatever. You got 25 trout, you know. Sheephead and drum, knock yourself out. How many you want to catch?
Exactly.
You know? So, no, I think, I mean, we have to look at it not only in our perspective, but for our grandkids.
Absolutely.
My grandkids and your granddaughters and my granddaughters, might not be charter captains. But
and
still
we have to look at it into a perspective of our lifetime. What we saw 15, 20 years ago and what we see now.
Yep.
There's a change.
Yep.
There's no question.
Well, of course, populations have grown.
Yeah. There's more people fishing.
Right.
And there's more people inshore fishing than dude,
there's 16,000 registered boats in St. John's County.
When I was running inshore trips 20 years ago, there was no one inshore fishing. Mm-mm. Very few. Mm-hmm. Recreational guys, there was a handful, no question. You know, we all went out trout and red fishing. You know, we go catch mullet. And I mean, now, I mean, again, nothing against it, but there's 25, 30, 40 inshore charter captains, mm-hmm. and the boats and the technology and everything. There's look, inshore fishing's, it's awesome.
Well, not only that, but we just when you go to the boat ramp. When have you ever gone through the boat ramp when we used to, years ago, and there would be just the charter guys and maybe one or two old guys that are retired?
Yeah.
Everybody's got a different day off of the week. You go to Volano Ramp right now, bud, and it's halfway out.
Yeah. So, anyway, I think regulations are fine as long as they're, you know, I obviously totally disagree with the snapper thing. It's the stupidest thing ever. They got to take a look at that. But with the new trout regs that they're talking about, this is nothing.
Just talk.
It's just talk. I like it. Mm-hmm. I do. I like
it. I'm in all the way with it. I love it.
And the forecast looks good.
It does. Offshore. Just be careful for afternoon thunderstorms.
Yeah,
it's going to happen.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. And like we said, folks, just kind of take your time in the mornings because it's been rough, and then it calms down and it's beautiful till, you know, 1 or 2 o'clock. But hope you all have a great weekend. Looking forward to the Jaguars game tomorrow evening.
I am too.
I know it kind of bumped us to Wednesday evening, but it's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun because we get Thursday night off now, so we can watch Jaguars game.
Jaguars game. Folks, have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. See ya.